Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. It's the post-dictator blues song, which is, if I were a jazz guy, I'd do a post-dictator blues song. There's very little news out there. I mean, Phil Spector, they find a dead woman in his house with a smoking gun, and the guy's innocent. It's unbelievable. You know, with enough money, you can get away with murder in the United States of America. I don't mean him, of course. He's absolutely innocent. He wouldn't have done that. He just has a track record of putting guns to women's heads. Now, it could be that she committed suicide at the thought of having sex with him. That is true. I mean, that's a secondary thought. Anybody would have sex with a guy with wigs like that. I mean, maybe she did commit a suicide. Or she did have sex with him, then shot herself. We don't know. That's the news. O'Reilly goes to a restaurant in Harlem and finds out, wow, look at that, man. Blacks use forks and knives. Far out. Look at that. Hey, they're just like white. They're almost like the Irish. Look at that. They sit at tables and they order iced tea without saying the N-word. Wow. It's real different than in Manhattan. Did he put his foot in it this time? You know, look, I got to take his side because this gay fascist website, Meteor Matters, M-E-A-T-I-E-R Matters, they're into Meteor Matters, never Media Matters. They're a gay fascist website, and they attack me regularly for things I don't say, things I do say. And they're in business for one reason only, which is to attack anybody except real dictators like Ayman Azhar. They're a bunch of lousy vermin, all of them, at Meteor Matters. But O'Reilly did step in it. I mean, come on, let's be real here. I mean, the primary rule in radio is, you know, you don't talk about another host because you're giving him publicity. I really don't care. I'm way past caring whether he gets publicity out of me or not. It is hilarious to think a guy would go to a restaurant in Harlem with Al Sharpton and expect something good to come of it. I mean, it just shows you where O'Reilly's head is at. He wouldn't have me on his show because he's afraid to debate me, but he'll have this gutter snipe on, Al Sharpton. Then he takes him to dinner in a black restaurant in Harlem, and he comes back. Wow, look at that. Blacks eat with knives and forks. I'm shocked. I'll bet they use toothbrushes too, Bill. I bet some of them even change their clothes like you. Unbelievable. So if you want to talk about any of these things, I guess you can. Phil Spector, Meteor Matters, Bill O'Leprechaun. What about the Buddhist monks in Myanmar? Used to know it, knew it as Burma. I used to eat Burmese food in New York in the West Village. How could you go have Myanmar food? Myanmarese food wouldn't work. What do you mean the junta fired a 10th? What do the Buddhists want? I don't even understand this story. It's an anti-government march, okay, and what is it that they want? It's so poorly reported. I don't really know what's going on in Myanmar. Nor do I care, frankly. I mean, I guess it's colorful because they wear saffron robes, and that's unusual. Instead of the people wearing red berets here in San Francisco, they're wearing saffron robes, so that's a big deal. There's not really much news, truthfully, out there. 1-800-449-8255. Ayman Azhar, is he still around? Has he left yet? They had dinner with him, all of the schmucks in the media. Imagine they go to dinner with a Hitler like this. It's unbelievable what low-life vermin they really are in the media. Unbelievable to me. It's like, ask him his opinion of Anne Frank. Ask Ayman Azhar what he thinks about Anne Frank. She didn't exist either. What would you like to talk about on the sound? I'm not talking about drums. Get that caller off the air. I'm not going to talk about drums. Get me a call, a real call here. Craig is back? Larry Craig is back? Is that his name, Larry Craig, the wide stand senator here? What's this? Look at this headline here. He came to clear his name? The best way Larry Craig could clear his name would be to say he's gay and that he has every right to come on to men in a toilet stall. I mean, I don't understand it. In other words, if gay is good, according to the government. Gay is good. It's, in fact, it's better than your grandmother's behavior out in men's rooms. And it's his business. It's his, he wasn't on Senate time. He was on private time. And that's where he goes. That's all. Kathy, WOR in New York, what's your topic? Welcome to the program.
Huge fan, love you. And I like the leprechaun. And I just think the dumbest thing that he said was yes to that dinner invitation. I'm with you.
What could he expect to come of dinner with a man who was allegedly outside Freddy's Fashion Mart, egging on protesters with a megaphone until they burned the store to the ground? What could come of a man who made up the story of Tawana Brawley and smeared Detective Pagonis? What could come of a man who uses the phrase "Jewed him down" as near as a year ago? What was Leprechaun thinking?
Why does he have him on his show all the time? I can't imagine.
Oh, I can imagine. It builds the audience of people who are like the gutter snipe. See, there's a way to build audience, which is you have a person from a segment of America. And you assume that people who look like him and talk like him and think like him will listen to your show. It builds your audience that way. And, of course, the reason he won't have Michael Savage on is because conservatives need not apply to the Leprechaun's TV show. He's making the same mistake George Bush is, which is to continue to reach out to disparate groups and ignore the base that originally put him in power. You follow that one?
Oh, I know. I shut it off whenever I see Al Sharpton there. I totally agree. I wish you would go on that show.
No, they wouldn't have me on. There's it's a Savage-free network. The Leprechaun has banned all from having Michael Savage on. It's okay. It doesn't matter to me. I don't need them. They don't need me. It's a big world. But what do you think about him going to a black restaurant saying they use basically that they're like us? Didn't you find that a little icky?
Well, I mean, you know, he made a flippant comment. He tries to be funny. He's not funny. But whenever
now you hit the nail on the head. He's a klutz. He's basically kind of an Irish cop. And I have nothing against Irish cops, but he has no sense of humor whatsoever. If he had a large nightstick and could just hit people over the head with it, he'd probably be a happier man. But since those days are over, he has to hit him over the head with a microphone. But the fact of the matter is he has absolutely no sense of timing or a sense of humor. Who goes to a black restaurant and comes out and says, they're just like us? I mean, I expected him to say they eat with forks next.
Terrible. I know.
All right. Look, you could like him and you could like me. I'm not telling you not to like him. That's all. You could like anybody you want. What does it matter to me who you like and who you listen to? I'm at a mature phase of my career. Michael Savage, you can write that down, is at a mature phase of his career where he could care less what others, how successful or unsuccessful they are. What do you think of this mistrial in the Phil Spector case? I think it's unbelievable. You have a smoking gun, a dead woman, and he's free. It's unbelievable to me. Be like if I went to an Italian restaurant, now that I'm thinking about it, and come back and say what? I mean, we could play with these jokes an awful lot. What, you go to a Jewish restaurant and you see people eating with their hands while gesticulating with their feet? Boise, Idaho. David, you're on the Savage Nation.
Yeah, I just wanted to give you a call. I watched O'Reilly last night, and that interview, those comments that Media Matters referred to was an interview that he had done with Juan Williams from NPR. And Juan Williams was on there last night. And basically that whole conversation that O'Reilly had and those statements were totally taken out of context.
I know Media Matters is a gay fascist website. It's well known to be a gay fascist website. They rip me on a daily basis. I know who they are.
I know who they are.
They are simply a gay fascist website without any guts whatsoever. Instead of attacking Ahmadinejad or the Islamo-fascist, they attack me, O'Reilly, whoever they can get their hands on who's a conservative, because they think that we're anti-gay. They're psychotic. They're psychotic. They're off their medication most of the time. Tampa, Florida. Ian, you're on the Savage Nation topic, please.
Michael, I just wanted to tell you, I was listening to the Leprechaun today, and while I wholeheartedly agree with you about Media Matters, today, let me tell you, it was like a deer in the headlights with him on the radio because he was just kind of stumbling all over the place about those comments that he made. And I listened to both of you pretty regularly. And when I heard him say this the first time on the radio about a week ago, the first thing I was thinking was, man, that what just came out of your mouth is just not good at all. And today he kind of
how do you talk about a black restaurant, people in a black restaurant, largely black clientele, and say they're just like us, and not expect people to take that in the way it was taken? I mean, what would you expect to happen? Look at that. Look at that. The black folks use forks and knives too. Look at that. Look, they actually chew their food.
He
I mean, that's how it struck me. It was on that order, wasn't it?
Yeah, exactly. And today he retracted and he said, well, actually what I meant was, because Sylvia's restaurant is known more as a soul type of restaurant, it's a soul-themed restaurant, I was surprised that it was a normal dining experience.
What did he expect, the people to be eating with their hands on the floor?
Wait, yeah.
And I mean, that's what it sounds like. You know, look, if I were black, I would probably definitely think this was a bad thing to say. It would be like, going to any ethnic restaurant saying, wow, look at that. Those people eat just like we do. That's fundamentally what this is all about.
All ethnic.
All right. Like, it's a small story, but I know we're all into the media. Anyone who listens to this show listens to the media a lot. What about killing the bears all over New Jersey and New York? The poor black bears are coming out because they don't have enough berries now, and they got to fill up with the berries before the winter, and they're breaking into houses, and they want a little food, a little peanut butter, and they're getting shot. That's a story. It's like not the Sopranos. It's not funny. Why do they have to kill the bears? Like, we're encroaching on their territory, you know? Let them move from New Jersey back to Brooklyn. Let the bears have the 1-800-44. Is there a black person in the audience? What do you think? I only want to hear from black people on the leprechaun comment. I want to hear what black people think. What's the difference with white people think? You can't have the same sensibility on an issue like this. It's going to go away. It's, you know, this is a gay fascist website that's never had so much fun in their life. They're a bunch of punk coward psychotics, so I'm not on their side. Don't get me wrong. They're vermin. They're utter vermin. WOR New York, Stephen. Stephen, you're on the Savage Nation.
God bless, Michael Savage. I just want to say, I think there is reason, due to my experience, to be pleasantly surprised when a black-owned enterprise or business doesn't cater to the lowest common denominator of their own culture. I mean, I go to the airport now, I go to other places of business where I see black employees wearing their pants hanging off their butt instead of properly wearing the uniform. I hear rap music playing in the background, and a whole ghetto attitude in places where it shouldn't be. So, yeah, I'm pleasantly surprised when I don't see that happening.
Now you got a place to go. You can go to Harlem and eat in that restaurant. You'll have a pleasant place to go. That's all. What do you want from me? Could you give me some music? I'm not into this yet. None of this makes sense. You know, the whole thing, there's no news. Ahmadinejad's gone. It's post-dictator blues song. Mistrial and the psychos thing down there, murder prosecution. I never saw anything like this. Smoking gun, dead woman, chauffeur says the guy says, I think I killed a woman, and he walks. Now, how would you feel if you were a minority kid who got caught with a crack cocaine, one bag of it, and you're in jail for 8 years, and here's a guy, a white man, who could hire very, very rich lawyers. They have a smoking gun now, dead woman. A guy has a history of putting guns to women's heads, according to the trial. Smoking gun, dead woman. His chauffeur says, the guy just said to me, I think I killed someone, and the guy walks. How would you feel if you were a black kid in jail for 3 to 5 on a bag of cocaine? I'll be right back.
Savage.
It is amazing to me that the American media would go to dinner with Ahmadinejad. I said a million times, if Hitler came back, they'd crush each other's arches to get to go to dinner with him. They're soulless. You know, I really trace most of what's wrong with politics and the media, people in the media, to drugs. I don't know how many of them are on antidepressants. My guess is a very large number. And what antidepressants fundamentally do are fight your conscience. When that still small voice starts to talk to you, see, there's a lot of politicians know that they're corrupt, and in the past their conscience would get the better of them and they would cease their activities. But with antidepressants and with the growth of the shrink profession, which is the anti-conscience profession, a shrink says to you, you're depressed, when he really should say is you're a no-good swine. You should feel bad. In the past, the priest who was would say, of course you should feel bad. You're no good. Now we've substituted the doctor for the shrink, and the doctor says, oh, poor baby, here, take this, you'll feel better. And that still small voice will suddenly shut up. And that's why you get behavior like you get in San Francisco, for example. How many of them are on medication? I don't know. My guess is many. The people know this. They sense it. That's why the ratings for Congress are the lowest in American history. We sense there's something rotten. From the whole tree is rotten. We know that. Something's wrong. You know? Los Angeles. Ernie. Topic. You're on the Savage Nation.
Hey, Mike, I just want to say for all the black people out here, you know, I've got a ton of black friends, and we're not talking about Bill O'Reilly or nothing like that. We're just so mad about illegal immigration. We're mad about Ahmadinejad. We're mad about those things. And the way we get rid of depression is to stop this crazy immigration crisis that we have. I'm out here in Los Angeles, and I'm smothered, and I've had it. I'm tired. And I'm just.
The fact of the matter is the illegal immigrants impact most definitely upon the poorer black community. There's no question. And for the fake black leadership like Jackson and Sharpton, who don't represent blacks at all, as far as I can tell, to take the side of the illegal immigrants shows you who they are. But the fact of the matter is the media hasn't come down to your community and asked you how you feel about illegal immigrants, have they?
No, the media does nothing. The media wants to focus on O'Reilly and things like that because they want to do everything but talk about the issues. You know, you wake up in the morning, you try to find something to watch on the news, nothing. It's all the same. It's all about nothing. Nothing.
Nothing. Nothing. And have you noticed that I've said for years now, CNN, Fox News, MSNBC all go to break at exactly the same second? They go to break at exactly the same second? It's as though the government is running the media. It's like the old Pravda in the Soviet Union. I've said this for years. I don't care how many outlets there are. If they're all owned by a few hands, they're fundamentally the same thing. It may as well be government-owned media. Thanks for the call. That's all. Next case. Let's move on. Lonnie, Las Vegas, you've got 20 seconds. Fire away.
Well, I just when you were talking about the leprechaun, I saw that on the news this morning, and my initial reaction was just to roll my eyes and say, whatever, another typical response, because I think it's absolutely hilarious that people are surprised that, oh, yeah, we do use knives and forks.
Wow, blacks use forks. Unbelievable.
Savage.
When the president says he's going to veto the bill, what he is saying is, I forbid health care for 10 million American children.
All right, we know she loves children so much that she wants to grant more tax dollars to illegal aliens. Has anyone else noticed the facelift? That's all I want to know. Am I the only one who is seeing this, and why am I the only one who mentions it? I'm shocked that I'm just shocked at what I see. She is shocking looking. I must tell you this. She's a public figure. She disappears for 6 weeks. I ask where she is. The day after the Hitler of Iran leaves, there she is again. There's Nancy Pelosi with a new face talking about, again, the children, the children, the children, the children. It's unbelievable to me. And no one mentions this. Houston, Texas. Steve, topic, please. You're on the Savage Nation.
Hey, Michael. I'm black man. And I'm shocked that your last caller hadn't been nowhere to see that more than just black people wear their pants is pulled down. It's pathetic on the young society that does that. Furthermore, I've been to a lot of other ethnicity restaurants, and they conducted themselves in a humanly manner, too.
You mean they almost passed for white? Is that it, Steve?
Yes. Even the Chinese restaurant.
Yeah, isn't that amazing that you've been to some Asian restaurants and they almost look like whites, huh, in their behavior?
I leave out of my backyard. I don't stay at home and look at MTV and BET and then
what's going on. No, it is. I think what you're getting at here is a lot of these people in the media don't leave their. They're afraid of the real world. And maybe rightly so. They never go out. They're in this TV studio in their home behind locked gates because they're afraid of people. And probably should be with the lunatics out there. I'm afraid of them, too, but I go out anyway because I can't live in a bubble. I'm out all the time. I'm constantly in restaurants, so I know what the real world is all about. I can't say that my favorite cuisine is Ethiopian cuisine, if you ask me. I really don't get off on eating cow eyes or anything like that. But I have my favorites. It is an Ethiopian cuisine, but I do get out and kind of rub shoulders with the average person of many different races in San Francisco. And I'm not shocked to tell you that most of them do use knives and forks, Steve.
Yes, I tried sushi.
Hey, there's nothing funnier than watching liberals using chopsticks in Asian restaurants and see the sushi fall off their chopstick.
Yeah, I just go on and use the fork. And if I can't,
I use my hand. When it comes to sushi, I use my fingers because there's no point in trying a chopstick on sushi unless you were raised with that with those sticks.
Yeah, I know. A caller called in and he said he mentioned a comment about the pants was pulled down. Like all blacks pull their pants down. My son won't even see the house like that because he know I'm
about it. I'm starting to try that style myself. I'm trying to see if I can. If I can get my pants lower on my, because I can wear a smaller size that way, Steve, if I can get it underneath my stomach. You know what I mean?
I don't like to breathe.
That way I can save on buying a new pair of pants every time I put on a few pounds.
Okay.
Thanks for that call. Look, I got to laugh at this. I mean, I'm telling you the truth. This is very funny. The whole thing is funny. The whole thing is funny. That's all. Everything is funny today. The only thing that's not funny is the scum of the earth in the media at Columbia University who let that rat bum get into this country and they didn't execute him. They took a tyrant who hates America and they gave him a coveted platform. He used this platform to expound a creed which preaches the superiority of the Iranian race, the superiority of Iranian culture, the superiority of the Muslim religion, and his highest objectives being the downfall of Big Satan America and Little Satan Israel. He's our enemy, in other words. He's the enemy. He's the head of the enemy. He's the head of the snake. Why he was allowed in is because of the weakness of George Bush. And why he was allowed out is because of the weakness of George Bush. I could see letting him come in, but I could also see shooting his aircraft down over the Atlantic Ocean and say, whoops, we had a misfire. One of our missiles misfired. We apologize. We'll make reparations to Iran. That's all. Houston, Texas. Catherine, you're on the Savage Nation.
Hey, Michael, I don't think that Bill O'Reilly seems to have learned anything from Black History Month. We have it every year ad infinitum, and this guy goes and makes such a bummer. What does he learn?
Well, during Black History Month, do you show blacks eating with knives and forks?
Mm.
Maybe he didn't see that part of the Black History Month presentation.
You think?
I mean, this is Catherine, come on, what do you really think about this? I mean, now, look, let's start with the reality here. The group that is doing this to him is a gay fascist group, Media Matters. They're insane, and they're very, very, very evil. There's no question about it. But let's be fair to the issue here. To go to a black restaurant and say, wow, they ate just like we, like they hung, they behaved just like we do? Good God, that's awful.
Hmm.
I don't know. I don't know. People don't. We can talk about bears if you want. That's not, we can't get in trouble talking about killing bears in New Jersey, can we? Stick to that one. We're through with Ahmanejad. Since they won't kill Ahmanejad, they can only kill bears. Guys with guns. And he didn't come up here from South America, did he? A little pineapple head? Football head. Hey, is Kevin Spacey still down there cruising around Caracas? Buenos Aires, excuse me, Argentina. I always mix up Argentina and Venezuela. You know, I do that all the time. I got to remember, like, one is the long country on the bottom. It's a part of my geography I never paid much attention to. I never wanted to go to South America. I never had a thing for it. I don't know what that is. There are areas as a kid I always wanted to go to, and the areas I don't even want to fly over. There's areas I wouldn't fly over. I have no desire to go to, what if I wanted to see the Pampas? I don't know what I want to go to the Pampas and down there and say, what do you want to do in South America that you can't do here? They're all here anyway. You want to go to South America, go to San Francisco, you'll see South America. They're all here on expired visas from Brazil. I'm nothing against the people. I just have no desire to be there. Well, I'm going to go to Venezuela and come back and say, wow, they have buildings just like we do in New York. Ooh, look at that. I was shocked they have buses in Argentina. I didn't know that. Holy God, the men wear white shirts and ties in Argentina. I guess that's what Bill O'Reilly would say if he visited Argentina. Or if he went to Japan, he would come back and say, shockingly, the women wear short skirts. They no longer wear kimonos. He was shocked to find out that they're just like the women in Manhasset. They wear short skirts and high heels and lipstick. They no longer. Oh, my goodness. This is hilarious. 1-800-449-8255. Any topic is not fair game. I don't know. There's no news out there. Nothing at all. If we woke up and we said that the U.S. military apologized for accidentally shooting down the Iranian Hitler's plane with all of his bodyguards, and they're terribly sorry, they thought that it was a spacecraft, a UFO or a missile misfired, and they're investigating, and that they're going to make reparations to Iran, I would say then we could celebrate and raise the American flag. But there's nothing to celebrate here. The Iranian Hitler came here. He talked about the superiority of Muslims and Islam and Iran and how we're all going to die unless we convert to Islam. And we're supposed to believe it was not a publicity gain for him. I'm sorry. It was sickening, to be honest with you. You know, that's all. Let's move on here. Any other topics we could talk? There's no news. It's a zero news day. Phil Spector walks. The leprechaun talks. And life goes on. That's all. Life goes on. The end of it all, who's going to remember any of this? Who's going to, you think you're going to remember any of this at the end of your time? You're going to remember it when you're screaming in pain as you're dying of some disease? I went out on the boat today. I had a rough day today. I went out on the boat this morning with the dog. It's like summer out in the Bay Area. Flat, calm, no air, nothing. A mirror. We're in one of those like zones of air where everything's unbelievable. We get a September, October weather here is the best of the, we wait for it all year. The summers here are iffy, usually windy, which I like, but September, October is our real summer. So come on out. The weather's just fine here in the Bay Area. And so I go out on the boat with the dog, have a nice time, just nothing, not a big exciting day. Okay, I got to explain it to you. There is nothing fundamentally exciting about going out on a boat. I go slow. I go very slowly. The dog goes to sleep. Nothing happens. That's considered a great boat ride, incidentally. The best part of a boat ride is coming back, tying up perfectly at the exact spot on the dock that you left, where the staircase that you left when you left, if you could bring your 19,000-ton boat back to the dock and line it up where your exit on your boat is exactly where it was when you got on, you're doing well. I did that today. And then when you start to wash, all is good. Life is great. I'm telling you. So then I come back and I made spaghetti for lunch before going to work to the radio studio. I didn't want to eat anything but just plain noodles. I'm into my plain noodle phase. I splattered my abdomen with scalding water. It was horrible. And I would say it's a big thing like Iraq with an IED. Don't get me wrong, but it happened. I scalded my abdomen. I was wearing an undershirt after the boat. I'm making noodles and I burnt my abdomen. And scalding water hurts. So I went in the yard and I got aloe vera. Now, then it's much better. I got to tell you something. And it brought back a thought to me. When I was a graduate student, I'll never forget this as long as I live. I knew from nothing about natural herbs or cures. And I went to the University of Hawaii way back in the 1960s, and I was in pharmacology. I didn't even know what pharmacology was. I truly didn't know what it was. And I learned about plants and healing. And I remember in the first month, I learned from some very brilliant men about aloe vera, the cactus. And I learned that it's been used for burns since Cleopatra's time. And then I learned that experiments have shown that it has an antibacterial and an antiseptic quality and an anesthetic quality, all by Mother Nature. And I was just stunned by it. And then I learned in the 1950s, the University of Pennsylvania discovered that aloe vera is one of the best treatments for radiation poisoning that they've ever discovered. Would you believe this? All from an ancient plant. So that's some got me into the whole herbal field. It was just amazing to me. I was thinking about it as I rubbed this stuff on my guts. It stinks terribly. Horrible smell. But took away the pain, and it'll probably do fine. Incidentally, I do have to mention this. This is pretty amazing to me. I decided to do a pre-holiday giveaway on my website. And you could buy the three books now, the two books and a DVD that's worth $54 for $39. The sale is going to end November 1. I'm giving it away. It's after Labor Day, and I'm giving the house away. The Alzheimer's book, the Children's Naturally book, the DVD, all for $39, and I'm going to give you as a package. You could buy it now as a gift package and give it away to somebody who doesn't want it. That's all there is to it. 1-800-449-8255. Houston, Texas. AJ, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hey, Savage. How you doing, baby? Hey, some of the guys, we took some clients out to eat, man, some sushi. So the bar guy, we come up, we say, hey, you got to come on and let's go eat some chitlins. And we had the balls and everybody them eating chitlins, Savage.
Well, wait, you're telling me Asian guys came to you to a black restaurant to eat chitlins? Did they try to use chopsticks on chitlins?
Man, no, they wanted to use the fork and spoon.
Hey, the weirdest food I ever ate in my life was in Hawaii when I first got there. You have to eat poi with your fingers. I couldn't get behind that part of it. It's like sticking your finger into mud and then sticking it on your tongue. Did you ever try poi with your fingers?
Oh, no, Sammy. Oh, my God.
I wouldn't recommend that one. But how about Detroit barbecued ribs? How do they taste?
Oh, they pretty dang on good. I got
to get... You remember that song, and Detroit barbecued ribs? I was thinking about that song last night for some reason. And Detroit, you say Detroit in Detroit, don't you? You don't say Detroit, you say Detroit.
They say Detroit.
Detroit, yeah. And Detroit barbecued ribs. Maybe you want to get Bill O'Reilly to try Detroit barbecued ribs and see if he'd eat them with his hands. Because those, you know, those hands, they may not want the grease all over them because you got to touch a microphone afterwards. It may take days to get the grease off them.
Oh, man, I tell you. And all that's why they're savage. That's why they're so overweight up there. They got to eat all that good stuff to doggone hold on the cold weather.
I don't know. This is a great show for me. I'm having a good time. You'll have to forgive me. I got black guys calling me joking about the food thing. What could be better? Tell me what could be better right now. See, many of you don't even know that we have black listeners. Many of you are saying, now, wait a minute, Mike. We don't like any black callers on the show. This is strictly a white man show. Hey, they're black. You mean there are black guys who are conservative out there? Yes, there are black guys who are conservative out there. You never see them or hear them. They're not allowed to talk because the media only wants to show, let's say, the sharp ton or the Jackson type. You know, the oppressed minority who marches arm in arm for we shall overcome. But actually, that's the minority of the minority rather than the majority of the minority. You know what I'm saying? Okay, here we go. Now I got the detractors here. Now they're calling. Steve in Los Angeles. Go ahead, please.
Yes, Michael. Just two quick points. Number one, Bill O'Reilly mentioned your name to a reporter on TV 3 weeks ago, and he said the main reason why you're not on his show is because he feels like you're too extreme, you're out of the mainstream. That's not my opinion, that's his. I've been listening to your show for almost...
Well, all right, so I'm out of the mainstream, so that means that my 10 to 20 million listeners shouldn't listen to him?
I have no idea. I'm just telling
you... Wait a minute, let me see if I figure this out. Al Sharpton, involved with the Tawana Brawley affair, Freddie's Fashion Mart, Don't Jew Me Down, he's in the mainstream? Is that what corned beef and cabbage does to a mind after three generations?
Well,
I mean, corned beef and cabbage, you know, might taste very good, but it might be lacking a few essential amino acids for the neural tube development if he thinks that guy's in the mainstream and I'm not. But anyway, that's not what you're calling about. What are you calling about?
Well, the other point I wanted to make is I'm a Bush Republican, and I want to tell you in 2 years, the most disappointing statement I've ever heard you make, and I'm going to give you a chance to take it back. You said it 10 months ago, and I wrote it down word for word. This is what you said. You said, FDR, Harry Truman, John Kennedy, and Bill Clinton are to the right of, Bill Clinton are to the right of George Bush. Those are Democrats. How could you make a statement like that, Mike?
Well, when it comes to spending, that's what you didn't finish the sentence. When it comes to spending, they are to the right of George Bush. George Bush has outspent Bill Clinton. Are you aware of that?
No.
No, wait a minute, sir. Look, you want to talk facts here. You're not an unintelligent man. I have studied the data. George Bush has doubled federal spending, that has spent double that of Clinton. That's even adjusted for inflation, and that's excluding military spending. Do you know that? He has created entitlement programs or expanded entitlement programs at a rate double that of Bill Clinton, and he has created an entitlement program with prescription drugs that Bill Clinton never could have gotten away with. So my statement has to be taken in context, Steve.
Oh, well, I was just surprised you said that.
George Bush is a fiscal socialist, not a fiscal conservative. Thank you for the call. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Here's a weird story. Look at this one. Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia. Indonesian woman jailed for almost cutting off her husband's penis over jealousy. A Malaysian court sentenced an Indonesian woman to prison for 6 months for almost severing her husband's penis out of jealousy, police said Wednesday. Umadat Setu an Indonesian migrant worker living in Malaysia, pled guilty to court, blah, 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 blah. Umada, a 47-year-old canteen operator, was arrested Sunday after her husband, who's also from Indonesia, filed a police report claiming she tried to cut off his penis with a knife. He received 11 stitches, blah, blah, blah. Muslim men in Malaysia are allowed to take up to four wives. It was not clear if Umada will... Four wives in Malaysia under Muslim law? So what are they persecuting that poor guy in Utah for? I mean, he could have used the cultural defense if he wanted to. The dispute surfaced because Umida was jealous of another woman. Blah, 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 blah. Well, the guy's lucky that it occurred in Indonesia, not in Burma, because a Burma shave would have been closer. That's all I can say. It would have taken more than 11 stitches if he was in Burma. That's all. WOR in New York, Ed, you're on the Savage Nation.
Hey, Mike, listen, I just wanted to comment on the leprechaun and what a joke he is. You know, he says he won't put extremists on, and he calls you an extremist, yet a few years ago he puts a guy like Michael Moore on his show. But you know when I first became suspicious of this guy?
Wait a minute. He has Al Sharpton on, a man involved in burning down Freddie's Fashion Mart, a man involved in a Tawana Brawley scandal. He has Medea Benjamin of Code Stink on. Who is he kidding? The only reason he doesn't have me on is he's afraid of me. Period. End of story. He's terrified to debate me.
But you know when I first became suspicious of him also? A few years ago, he went on Imus's program, and they were talking about Rat Boy. And he said, quote, "I actually feel sorry for this kid." I mean, this guy is a joke. He just, you know, he teases.
Yeah, no, the leprechaun's all over the map. He gets away with it because he's a tall, rugged-looking guy. And so he presents a conservative view, image rather. But when you actually listen to him, he's almost to the left of George Bush in most of his politics. You know, I wish him great luck because there's a sucker born every minute, and it's a big world out there. There's apparently a market for Bush bots like him who, live for the media. That's all. I am what I am. He's what he is. He's a liar, though. He's afraid of me. Everyone knows that who knows him. He's terrified of me.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Reporting for Michael Savage, I have been able to obtain an exclusive interview with the Leprechaun. Apparently, he's been making some waves in the media, talking about his experience at Sylvia's restaurant in New York. So, what happened, Mr. Leprechaun?
You know, I was up in Harlem a few weeks ago, and I actually had dinner with Al Sharpton, and I treated him to dinner.
Really?
And we went to Sylvia's, a very famous restaurant in Harlem.
I see.
And I couldn't get over the fact that there was no difference between Sylvia's restaurant and any other restaurant in New York City. I mean, it was exactly the
same. Did you really think things would be different?
Run by blacks.
I mean, they use forks and knives and wear clothes and they have chairs and tables, right?
Primarily black patronship. It was the same.
So you really have no exposure to black culture?
There's no difference. There's no difference.
I see.
People may gravitate toward different cultural entertainment.
Well, so they listen to different kinds of music.
And nothing to do with the color of anybody's
really?
Skin. Oh, there was no condescension. Listen, there's a lot of condescension in the white establishment community toward black people in this country. It's true.
I see.
It's true. This society is racist. White Americans
all right,
are terrible.
This is hilarious. It's all in good fun. This is beyond comprehension. You talk about a parochial mentality. It's unbelievable to me. Shocked that they use forks. Here's another story. Russian woman's 12th baby weighs in at 17.1 pounds. A Siberian woman who gave birth to her 12th child was stunned to find that little Nadia weighed in at a massive 17.1 pounds. I guess that gives new meaning to the word anchor baby. Good thing she wasn't born here in San Diego. They get a twofer. I mean, if an illegal alien had a 17.1-pound baby, I guess according to Nancy Pelosi, that child would qualify for two kids in one. I mean, they'd probably get two qualifications for Medicare with a child of that weight. play the Burmese thing for me. The Burma ad. I want to hear that one, the Burma ad. The Noxzema ad. Let me hear the Noxzema ad. Yeah, all right. Well, that goes back to a joke from the last hour about something that happened in Indonesia with a jealous wife, and I can't repeat it. But we ought to send that guy a jar of Noxzema for his recovery. I'm having a good time. Pardon me. I'm not going to get excited today. I ate my heart out yesterday with Manajat. I told you my position. A, he shouldn't have come here. B, they should have shot his plane down by accident as he goes home. And C, what can I tell you? That's all. The Burma thing, you know, I pride myself on understanding what's going on in the world. I haven't any idea what the monks are rioting over in Burma. I don't get it. The one thing that you should know, and many of you don't know, is that Buddhism is not a peaceful religion. Many American morons who were once Jews or Catholics, they say they're Buddhist, and they want you to go, wow, man. Oh, God, you must be really holy. You know, they give you like a certain nod. That would be the equivalent of the old, like, handshake, the special handshake that the Masons had or something like that. Like, you're a Buddhist. Ooh. It's like Rat Boy's mother became a Buddhist. His father became gay, ran off with another man. So he picked up a gun and tried to kill American. It's like, what does that mean, you're a Buddhist? They think if you're a Buddhist, like, you're peace-loving. Well, everyone's peace-loving. Most people on Earth are peace-loving except the psychos, okay? But what does it mean? Buddhists were traditionally a warrior people. Or let us say that many warriors were Buddhists, and many warriors are Buddhists. What in the world does the American know about Buddhism? The answer is virtually nothing. They invent it. So now you see that the monks can get get it on there with the sticks. They could pick up a stick and attack the troops. At least you know that not every Buddhist is a wimp. That's all. They're all Buddhists over there in Burma. 99%. Now, Thailand's another story I try to tell you about, but it went over most people's heads. In Thailand, which is a largely Buddhist nation, a Muslim general seized power and conducted a coup about a year ago. Now there's been a lot of bloody murder in Thailand, but that's been swept under the rug by the idiots who we eat with Mahum Ahmamanada Badajada Badubadad. Ahmed Jihad, I call him. Mahmoud Ahmadabad Jihad. The monks were beaten with the back of rifles. Who knows what it's over? The military and the monkhood. Ah, that's what it's about. So it's against a religion state battle. Okay. So they're not so peaceful. The monks want the power. They don't want to give it to the guys with the guns. The guys with the saffron robes want the power in that country with the shaved heads. They're fighting the power. It's a battle of the wills between Burma's military and Burma's monkhood. So whatever, I don't know what it has to do with us. Does it have anything to do with America? Probably we could find out. I don't know, it's got something to do with us somehow. I'm sure they'll blame Bush for this somewhere. I'm sure Al Gore will find out a way to blame it on global warming, that because the rivers heated up in Burma, the monks are agitated, something like that. That's all. What do you want to talk about here on the show today? There's no news. You got a guy in L.A. He has a history of putting guns to women's heads, according to the trial testimony. He wears wigs. He did nothing since 1963. He lives in a weird house. He's a weird man. He brings girls there who make $9 an hour who once see actresses. There is a dead woman found in his vestibule. There is a smoking gun on the floor. His chauffeur says he came running out of the car saying, "I think I shot someone," and today he walks free. But let a black kid get caught with less than a gram of cocaine, he goes away for 3 to 5 years because he can't afford these lawyers. Don't tell me that there's no story there. There is a story. We have a three-tier justice system. You got the Phil Spectors who can get away with murder, according to most people. You got the poor people who can't get away with a traffic ticket. And then you got the political class who can get away with raping the Treasury and undermining America's security. They don't get touched. So don't tell me about that. Buddhism is the topic, I guess. Chicago, Mike, you're on the Savage Nation topic, please.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. Buddhism simply is a Sanskrit word that means to be revealed to, and it does not denote any particular religion or faith. So if you've been enlightened about something...
Yeah, but haven't you met American phonies who claim they're Buddhists? Haven't you seen how vacuous they are?
Ton of them. We get them all the time here in Chicago.
What do they expect, a badge? Because they say they're a Buddhist, you're supposed to go, wow? I mean, what does that make them? They don't even know what Buddhism means.
Well, they're like the typical liberal that, you know, it's a status symbol or something, you know?
That's right. That's right. They wear their Buddhism like a badge of honor, but they don't even know what the religion means. When you start using a religion as vanity, then you've undermined the whole meaning of the religion itself. Thank you. That's well put. Chicago, Alonzo, you're up on the Savage Nation. Topic, please.
Dr. Savage, my hero. Bill O'Reilly just showed his ignorance that he's never been exposed to black culture. Black people also stand up when they use the bathroom, at least men do. Dr. Savage.
Wait a minute. Did he go into the men's room and see blacks using urinals in there as well?
I would hope that if he used the washroom that he'd know that we have proper toilet training, too.
Dr. Well, I'm sure he was shocked to find out that there were actually toilets in that restaurant.
Oh, yeah, by all means. Dr. Savage, you're my hero. Thank you for truth. Thank you for getting me out of that brainwashed Democratic Party.
Yeah, baby. I'm sending Alonzo a free copy of my DVD. And again, I'm going to mention it. I got a special sale until before the holidays. It's unbelievable. It's after Labor Day. I'm giving away the books. You get the two books. They're $19 each. And you get the DVD, $19. Normally $54 for $39. So you say you get all three in a package, save them for gifts. It's only till November 1st. And there's a Democrat debate tonight with Hillary. When? What time is it on, Beowulf? Is it on now? 6 p.m. Thank God it'll be on after I'm off the air. Does she shave? I want to know if she shaves. How come Nancy Pelosi needed a facelift and Hillary doesn't? Hillary should disappear for 6 weeks and get the same doctor to do her. She can come back looking like she's 30 years old. You know, it might help her. WOR New York, Nick, you're up on the Savage Nation topic, please. How can I help you?
Hi, Mike. I'm up here in Connecticut watching a football game. It was nice. Soccer game. It was nice. They started with this Star-Spangled Banner. Everybody very respectful.
Yes.
I talked to you last week about my daughter going to Wisconsin. She called me yesterday and said, hey, Dad, it's not as liberal as you think. So maybe there's hope out there.
Where are you? What are you, at a football game drunk and you're calling me?
With these conservative views.
All right, I take a walk. You got a drunk in a stands there and you put him on the show? Good God. Jeff, WRKO in Boston, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yes, very simple. If Hillary Clinton does become our president, it'll be very dangerous to our country. She will wave the white flag and turn everything over to people like Ahmadinejad and Putin of Russia and the president of China. This woman is extremely...
If she becomes president, only a military coup could save this country.
That's it.
If there are any people left in the military capable of a coup. I don't think there are. I think they've purposely selected deballed MBAs to run virtually all aspects of the military precisely because they know they're undermining the Constitution, incidentally.
Well, no.
I would say below the general level, you have real wholehearted patriots. But once you hit the general level, you're a politician. You know that. You're playing ball with the worst on earth. Thanks for the call. The beauty of the show is I make friends one day at a time, particularly with powerful people. One day at a time, building friendships and forging bridges with the powerful of America, one statement at a time. That's my motto here on the Sabbath. Thank God I live in a free country. I'd be dead already in like an ex-Soviet Union. But we're going there. We're moving in that direction. That's where we're going. We're moving in that. Joe, KNEW, San Fran. Sifka. I can't even say the name of my city anymore. I twisted it so many times I can't say it. Let me try it again. Joe, KNEW in San Francisco. Joe, welcome to the program.
Hi, Michael.
Yes?
Yeah, I'm from Vallejo.
All right, say your piece already.
Well, I want to comment about the Marines not being allowed on the Golden Gate Bridge.
What can you say? You got a loser named Coyote whose husband was nobody when he was somebody in 1967, a woman who's done nothing any day of her life, who hates the military, and we have a mayor who's even worse, who could throw her off the commission. What's there to say? Well, you know why it's not a news story? Because everybody expects the city to do stupid things that are anti-American. That's like dog bites man. I mean, we know that in San Francisco they bite the flag and they bite the Marines and they bite the police. We know that we have the sickest politicians in the country. There's no news in it anymore. Everyone says, ho-hum, what'd you expect in San Francisco? Thanks for the call. I didn't want to talk about it. I lost my breath from that call. I'm nursing an injured abdomen from splattered spaghetti water. Thank God I got the aloe out of the garden. Hey, what beautiful weather. God, I love it when the bay gets flat. I actually like it more when it's churny and windy and, you know, stormy. I can't wait to go out in the boat and get salt water all over everything up to the flybridge, even in the face. I feel like groating seafood up there maybe I go out in the calm weather, but if I go out in rough, what football game was he talking about? Who's watching a football game? Or what's on in sports that I'm competing with that people are not listening? What is on right now? The baseball, football, I don't even know what month it is. Who's playing what? Who cares? But did you hear what I said today? What's so important? The most important thing is that George Bush is to the left of Jimmy Carter when it comes to spending. George Bush is a fiscal socialist. George Bush has doubled spending, corrected for inflation, excluding the military. He's outspent Bill Clinton 2-1. Do you know this? Do you know any of this? George Bush is a fiscal socialist. I'll be right back. It is Rock and Roll Wednesday on the Savage Nation. What is today, Wednesday? What a slow week. Everything is moving slow. It's like slow as mud. Hitler came, he left, nothing happened. I'm looking at what caused the riots in Burma. It says the protests were triggered by a 200% rise in fuel prices, okay, which have caused much hardship in a country crippled by widespread poverty and corruption. It sounds like America. Maybe we want to get the monks over here. The protests in Burma were triggered by a 200% rise in fuel prices. Well, that's happened in the last 2 years. It caused much hardship in a country crippled. Well, we're not crippled. By widespread poverty and corruption. According to the Democrats, part of that is true. They're not corrupt, but there's widespread poverty because of the corruption of the Republicans. Oh, yay. What a world. What a world. What a world. A wise Greek philosopher said that it's good to live in interesting times. Little did he know that we'd be living in more than interesting times here in the United States of America today. But you've seen nothing yet. We have all seen nothing compared to what's coming in this world. That's all I can say. I'm sitting here basically occupying the hot seat until it happens. I know it's coming. There's going to be cataclysms over the next 2 years that we can't even imagine, and I'll be here for you. Today is like a fun day, I'm telling you. But there's going to be a day that you're going to have to tune in like an underground radio show that's going to happen in this country one day. Either it'll be the bomb that we all know was planned by Ahmadinejad and his minions, all of the Mohammeds and Ahmeds hiding amongst us who pretend that they love this country so much. Or it'll be the bombshell of the illegitimate Clintons taking control of the reins of power again. That'll be the real fun beginning. And I can't wait to see that day. I really can't wait to see it. As you well know, Bush has been lobbying for Hillary to win for about 4 years now. I was the first to notice that something was amiss when the entire Bush clan went to the opening of the Clinton library. I said, "What? Wait a minute. These guys came to power putting down Clinton, and we wake up and they're all... you know, Bush, Clinton, Clinton, Bush, Bush, Clinton, Clinton, Bush. So that's what's coming, Dynasty. It's like the Dynasty show now. That's all there is to it. 1-800-449-8255, phone number, michaelsavage.com website. Stories on website are, let me look myself. I didn't really look today. Is there anything on? There's no news. Nothing. And a guy, a smoking gun gets away. Elton John defends photograph seized in child porn art raid. Why do they call him sir? That makes me want to use brown soap on myself. Sir Elton John has admitted that an art exhibit, all the pervs use the word art. He slept in the Lincoln bedroom with his boyfriend. That is icky, man. They should have burnt the bed after that one. Convicted, disbarred, disgraced jihad lawyer Lynn Stewart to teach ethics class at, well, it's on Long Island. So you see, there's a disclaimer on it. She's to teach an ethics class at a Long Island law school in Hempstead, New York. So that's not so shocking. That a lawyer convicted of conspiring with a terrorist, Sheikh Omar Abdel Rahman, is teaching ethics in Hempstead, New York, is not so unusual. It's on Long Island.
Savage.
Now we have the case of General Pace, who says homosexual acts are immoral, and Code Stink goes in and starts braying and screaming, the very same cowardly vermin who had nothing to say when Ahmadinejad said there are no homosexuals in Iran. It's interesting to me how these left-wing radicals get tickets into congressional hearings, but they couldn't get tickets to boo Ahmadinejad in a more meaningful manner than just making braying sounds. You know, it's amazing to me. Listen to what General Pace says about homosexual activity in the military. Listen.
Are there homosexual people out there having homosexual acts? Yes. Are there wonderful Americans who happen to be homosexual serving in the military? Yes. And we need to be very precise then about what I said. Wearing my stars and being very conscious of it. And that is very simply that we should respect those who want to serve the nation, but not through the law of the land condone activity that in my upbringing is counter to God's law.
Now, one more outbreak, and that'll be too many.
So the virus of Code Stink appeared in the hearing. Somebody gave them tickets to it. The cowardly vermin and Code Stinko, who have nothing to say when Hitler comes here, but they attack one of our heroes for his religious beliefs. And by the way, the beliefs of 5% of the American people. Now, this occurred because the far-left Senator Tom Harkin said that he found General Pace's previous remarks as very hurtful and very demoralizing to homosexuals serving in the military. Let me get out a violin. The poor homosexuals everywhere. Everywhere you turn, they're the injured class. Harkin of Iowa said he wanted to give General Pace a chance to amend his remarks in light of his retirement. Harkin said it's a matter of leadership, and we have to be careful what we say. Hey, Harkin, you schmuck. Leadership means standing up to the gay mafia if you don't believe in their lifestyle, putz. Not catering to everybody who you don't agree with just to show that you're a nice guy. It would destroy the military to make it openly homosexual. You may as well take a knife to the throat of the military to put gays inside the bathhouses there. What, are you crazy? Pace noted that the U.S. Military Code of Justice prohibits homosexual activity as well as adultery. Don't tell that to Bill Clinton, though, because he was commander-in-chief and he did an intern. Didn't apply to him as commander-in-chief, so why should it apply to anybody else? Of course, he also believed in don't ask, don't tell. That was Bill Clinton's modus operandi while the president, and it didn't just apply to Monica Lewinsky. Cincinnati, Ohio, and another topic entirely. Bill, you're on the Savage Nation topic. Please go ahead.
Dr. Savage, it is such a pleasure to be talking with you.
It is a pleasure to be talking to me. So what do you want to talk about?
It absolutely is. I think you're being a little harsh on Mr. O'Reilly. You know, if I was going out to dinner with Al Sharpton, I'd just be doggone happy he wasn't eating monkey brains or took a knife and a fork to my hand. So I think he was expressing his surprise about Sharpton, not about the black race.
Well, what do you think about O'Reilly saying that he doesn't like Michael Savage because I'm an extremist, but he has Al Sharpton on and he has Medea Benjamin of Code Pink on? Who is he fooling? He's not fooling a guy like you, is he?
Absolutely not. He
all that matters is that the people remember old Abe Lincoln's adage. And this goes out to Bill O'Reilly on Fox News. You can fool some of the people some of the time, old Bill, and you can fool some of the people all of the time. But, Bill, you can't fool all of the people all of the time. Does that work for you, Bill?
Absolutely.
That's all. And I wish him luck. I wish him luck. That's all. I wish him luck. He needs a lot of luck. He doesn't have any talent. He needs an awful lot of luck. Matt in Chicago, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Michael, I've been listening to your show for 6 months, and today you converted me. And I'll tell you
what. Wait, what did I convert you to? Now I'm really worried.
No, conservatism.
From what?
Democrat.
What was it that turned you just now?
You know, it's really a mixture between just all your comments about the Democrats because I was ingrained on everything that the Democratic Party believes in, and I've been listening to you, and little by little, you started to make sense. I've always thought you were a nice man, but you started to make sense. And today, with just everything you said about Pelosi and the fact that we haven't shot him down, we didn't shoot down Ahmad, whatever his name is.
Yeah, Ahmad Jihad, right. His plane should have been shot down over the Atlantic as he went home, and we should have said, whoops, we'll pay reparations to Iran.
We are a scared political party. We refuse to do anything that will, move us ahead. We're happy where we are, and I don't think that's true. And I just want to say thank you, Michael, because now I...
No, you're welcome. You're welcome. You've seen the light. Now, don't make the mistake of thinking Republicans are conservatives, Matt. Your next revelation has to have you understand that there's a chasm between Republicanism and conservativism. That's the next stage in your progress. But thank you. You're on the steps of reality here. Houston, Texas. Mike, hey, Dorn. Welcome to the Savage Nation topic. Please go ahead. Hey, Dorn. Mike, are you there or not there? Go ahead, please. Okay, hung up. That happens on radio. I'd like to cut my hand off when it does, but it happens. The beginning of radio, there's like the worst nightmare when you start a radio show 15 years ago. There's no callers. It's a blank screen. You're talking, you're spilling your guts, and no one calls. No one says a word. You don't know what it's like to stare at a screen. So, what do you think out there in Radio Land? And no one calls. It's a nightmare. It's like the empty page for the writer, the white sheet. I never worried about the white sheet. In other words, if you can't fill the white sheet, don't write. If you can't fill the board with callers, don't be in radio. You know, become a politician or... I don't know, bond trader? There's always something else you can do. San Diego, Doreen, you're on the Savage Nation.
Hello, Dr. Savage. I wanted to tell you that my son and I, about a year ago, went to Iran. He was on a humanitarian type effort. He is gay, and he was so afraid to let himself be himself, and he had met some men. And they were so afraid to be who they were. They were scared to death. So when this man, this psycho crazy person, yesterday or wherever it was, yesterday.
Right, says there are no gays in Iran. We have no gays in Iran. Why didn't the gay community react to that? Why are they so silent on that?
Because, you saw the picture, Dr. Savage, they'll be hung and killed.
Yeah, it's on my website, michaelsavage.com. But why is the gay community silent about Ahmadinejad saying there are no gays in Iran? Why aren't they outraged? Answer, because the minute they would admit that Ahmadinejad is a stone-hearted murderer, especially hating gays, they'd have to agree that maybe George Bush and the conservatives are right in opposing Ahmadinejad. And even, let's go one step further, we just may be right in wanting to bomb the you-know-what out of Iran in order to prevent them from taking us to the Third World War. Thank you for the call. WOR, New York, Mike, what's on your mind? Go ahead, please. Mike, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please. Another dud?
Hi, Michael.
Yes.
Mike, I just wanted to make a comment. I saw the beheading videos on your website for the first time, and it has very much changed my whole perspective on...
Wait a minute. I took them down last week. Where'd you see them? I removed them.
Well, it was a little while ago. I've been listening to you for about a year now, and
I took down the beheading videos. I figured everyone has seen what the Islamofascists do to people, and I wanted to see if it would affect the traffic if I removed them. It hasn't affected the traffic one way or the other, so I figured I don't need them anymore. Everyone has seen what the radical Islamists do around the world. But how have they affected you, though, to see the decapitation videos?
Personally, when I watched them, it felt surreal to watch a human being do that to someone else, no matter what religion it is, and I find it...
That's right. And what I would have done when Ahmadinejad came here, if I was the big, brave, loudmouth, fraudulent, narcissist, phony Lee Bollinger at Columbia, is I would have run the video of the people being executed by Islamofascists, forced to say, chanting to Allah while they cut their heads off. And I would have said, this is what goes on in your country. How dare you? Instead of just giving rhetoric and hot air. Don't you agree with me? Thanks for the call. Of course you do, or you don't. Okay. What else do you want? Can I answer questions instead? Is there anybody who has a question for me? This is tedious just reporting on the news. Pre-holiday sale, three items, but it's a good deal. Lynn Stewart, the Bears. The Bears, they always show you the Bears. The Bears are dying there. Judge declares mistrial in Phil Spector murder case. This guy is such a weird freak. How could this man get away with this? And he picks up these women, these like has-been, you know, waitresses and like the... He did nothing. What's the wall of sound? No one remembers any of that. He's been living off that for all these years. He probably doesn't even have much money left when you think about it. What do you think he paid for that house down in L.A.? I know what house costs are in L.A. I bet you didn't pay more than $100,000 for that 30 years ago. Probably living on next to nothing, this guy. What could he have? He doesn't have much money. He's a nobody. He's like a broken Buick for a limo. Do you ever see these guys with no money at the end of their lives? They got a house they paid $100,000 for. They're paying nothing in taxes. They have virtually no income. And they have like a busted old Cadillac limousine with like a shabby driver. You ever see them? I've met guys like that in my life, but they're still putting on the Ritz. That's why I'd pick up a girl making $9 an hour, put a gun in her mouth to it. No, that doesn't make sense to any of you. I can't believe he got away with it. Now, I know one person on earth who's probably come back from the living dead at the thought of having him on a show. That would be Larry King. There's nothing that would revitalize Larry King more than having a guy like Phil Spector on a show. Literally, I mean, the guy must be agitated somewhere in the suburbs of Washington, D.C. at the thought of getting him first before Katie Couric does. That's what they live for, these people. They're insane. They're totally crazy, all of them. Who would go to dinner with Ahmadinejad and think that somebody thinks that's good to do? Who would do that? Who would do it except somebody who wanted to kill him and sacrifice their own life to kill him? That would have been the appropriate thing for someone in the media to do, is go to dinner with him and shoot him. And then you know, get killed after doing it. And stop World War III. That would have been like killing Hitler in 1939 if you had the opportunity to do so. You'll see I'm right. Eventually, I know this shocks most of you people who are brainwashed. The day will come that you look back and say, you know, had we only shot his plane down when he left America with all of his imams and his mullahs and his bodyguards and the mass murderers on that plane and his entourage, we could have stopped, prevented World War III. You'll see that I was right. You'll see it. Ian in San Diego, you're next up. Thanks for holding. Go ahead, please.
Sir, I just wanted to say I'm a U.S. Marine, 4 years in the military, 2 tours in Iraq in the infantry, and I know people personally with the Haditha case. And I want to say thank you very much for everything that you did. It means so much to us down in Camp Pendleton. I'm getting out of the military, going to LAPD, but I'm saying since I got home, I've gotten more political and I've gotten more into talk radio, and you've definitely converted me from what I used to be. I love everything you say, and I look forward every day to listen to your show, sir.
That is very beautiful, Ian. And let me tell you, we are going to win, and when Lieutenant Colonel Chassani is liberated, he's going to come on this show. He's promised. His lawyer said he will be exclusive to this show first. We're then going to try to raise money to prosecute Congressman Murtha and prosecute the Time Magazine reporter who blasphemed our troops like this. I can guarantee you we're never going to stop until both of them or one of them is in prison for what they did to our Marines. They're my heroes. I thank you and all of your friends for your service to this country. Without you, we wouldn't have anything, nothing. And that verminous piece of garbage in San Francisco who said that the U.S. Marines can't film on California Street, I'd like to tell you what I'd like to say about her, but I wouldn't say it on the public airwaves. I'll let you figure out what I'd like to say to that rat bum piece of garbage. Thank you. I'll leave it at that. Because I can give her a good Bronx cheer, that piece of garbage coyote. Anyone with a name like that isn't worth anything anyway. I'll be right back.
Savage.
The headline in the twisted San Francisco area, General Pace's view of gays. Ooh, that's a big deal to them, but nothing about Ahmadinejad, where they actually hang gays. But what a good Christian has to say about it from God's word in the Bible, that gets them twisted because they're crazy. Liberalism is a mental disorder. Just remember, when you can't figure out why certain people behave certain ways and why they say certain things, the answer is because liberalism is a mental disorder. There's no other answer. Why would they make comments about General Pace and his views on gays, which don't hurt anybody, incidentally, while the man who actually supervises the murder and execution of gays they say nothing about. Can you figure that one out? No, you can't figure it out because liberalism is a mental disorder. That's why. 1-800-449-8255 is the phone number from anywhere in the United States of America to the over 300 affiliates that have tuned into the Savage Nation. And my website is michaelsavage.com, where there are some pretty good stories I haven't gotten to. I will now go to the callers for the remainder of this particular hour. There's some great callers. I mean, some of it I've seen it all before, you know. I'm going to read the callers. Iranian picnic story, Dream Act in Durbin's office, U.S. actors are traitors, the mental health industry, what does third way mean, Republicans don't want small government, females in law enforcement. Take a guess which one I'm going to pick. Joe, WRKO, welcome to the Savage Nation. Topic, please.
You're right on, Mike. Liberalism is a mental disorder. We have political correctness that just killed somebody else within the past couple of days. I admit I was just getting up, so I didn't get all the details, but I think either you or your listeners can confirm it for me. A female prison guard was recently overpowered and killed by prisoners. And I don't know if you noticed.
In which prison?
That's what I do. I was just getting up. I just heard the end of the very end of the news.
Oh, it goes on all of the time. A lot of the police shootings of inmates and of felons being transported are women who have lost control of their weapons or have lost control of the prisoner because they're not hiring big men anymore. They're hiring little women in order to make the women feel good about themselves. You know, girls fly and all of that. That doesn't mean that there's no place for women cops. There's a great place for women cops. But they can't do everything that men cops can do, my friend. You know that, and I know that. When you're dealing with a psychopathic murderer, you don't use a woman 4'9" to transport him in a police car. That's common sense, but then since when has common sense been used in the police business anymore? Chicago, Kurt, topic please, welcome to the program.
Hi, it looks like Hillary is going to be the nominee for the Democrats, and Obama will probably be her VP. I'm not looking for an endorsement for anyone, but who do you think is the ticket that could beat them? What combination?
Notice the silence. I mean, TikTok. You have a ticket that can beat them? Do you know why there is no ticket? Do you know why there is no ticket that can beat them? Because the Bush family has created no bench. They wanted nobody in the dugout who could actually win on the Republican ticket. The Republican Party has engineered the ascension of the Hillary camp within the Democrat Party. They have wanted this. They hate Romney because he's not a member of the old guard. They hate Giuliani because he's not a member of the old guard. He didn't go to Skull and Bones. There is nobody that they put on the bench to warm up for this job, and therefore it's a very big problem. That's all. My dog's stretching. He knows that the hour's coming to a conclusion. He knows he's going to get let out of the radio studio any minute and pee on a tomato plant or something tonight. That's what he's looking forward to. Norfolk, Virginia. Harvey, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hey, I think out of the candidates that we got out there, Hillary's probably the best to do a better job than what we've had in a little while. What do you think?
I think that she's a Leninist, and I think she's a disaster for the United States of America. She's anti-military, anti-police, anti-male, anti-sovereignty of the United States. She's pro-illegal alien. She's pro-affirmative action. She's pro-homosexuals in the military. What is it about her that makes her appealing to you?
Well, you know, her husband kept us out of war. The economy was strong.
What do you mean he kept us out of war? He bombed Serbia for 78 straight days. You forgot we had a war. That's because the media covered up one of the great travesties of those years. They killed several thousand innocent Serbian men, women, and children, but you don't know anything about it because Dan Rather was very busy blabbering about things that didn't matter. No, you see, you have been propagandized. If you go on the Drudge Report, you'll see an article that says that the Clintons are known as the most controlling people in the history of the American media. They control virtually any story written about her or about him. They have a total lock grip on the media. You don't even know what this man did when he's president. We know who she is. We've had 8 years of Hillary. I don't want another 8 years of them. And I don't think the American people will elect her, incidentally. I know that women don't like her. She has huge high disapproval ratings amongst women. And I believe that she cannot be elected. It is the Republicans' election to lose. And lose they will.
Savage. Warning.
The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
You know, this week we had the Hitler of Iran speaking right here in New York City. God is looking down on this nation as we let the worst dictator of the 21st century come into our country. God is looking down on this nation as we give Ahmadinejad, the Hitler of our time, free rein to spread his hatred on our airwaves. God is looking down on us as we allow him to indoctrinate our children, call for the shackling of our women, to call for the elimination of the democratic state of Israel. God sees the truth but waits. So as he hears the voice of this petty tyrant go unchallenged, as he hears the idiots in the media praising the exercise of free speech, as he hears the cries of the women and the Christians and the oppressed, God knows who is responsible for this spread of evil. And the ones who are responsible for giving this bastard a platform from which to spread his laws will be judged. God judges the left, and the outcome of his judgment will fall hard upon them. God judges us all. God judges the poor. And God judges the rich. He especially judges the children of the rich, liberals who are born with a silver spoon in their mouth.
If our belief is that this war should stop today, we cower as you point your fingers telling us to support our troops. Will you and the smarmy pundits in your pocket, those who bathe in the moisture of your soiled and blood-soaked underwear, can take that noise and shove it?
Now, here's what's really on my mind. Why are so many sons of the rich failures? Shall I repeat the question? Why do you think so many sons of the rich are failures? They're either drug addicts, they're in rehab, they've never done anything with their lives. Why? Why? Do you have an answer to that one? I have my own opinion. But first, let's go to Chris in Honolulu, who lost a friend who came from a rich background. Hello, Chris. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi, Michael. Yes, my friend, who, by the way, was a graduate from Berkeley, University of Berkeley, English Literature.
Right there, it was the road to perdition.
Yeah, he was being groomed for a liberal media journalist job or something along those lines. The one thing I would say is we had many, many discussions, long-hour discussions about how come he found it so hard to cope with life, and I come from a terrible childhood, and I it made me stronger to more of a survivor instead.
But wait a minute, but there's your answer right there. That's exactly the truth. You know how many times I've thought about this when you think about there. What I got to relate to this, Chris. I was raised in a pretty tough manner. I'll be honest with you. I'm not going to go into details. I was raised in a very, very tough manner, looking back on it. It was very severe. Now, when it used to get me crazy, long after my father was dead, there were times I hated him, I'll be honest with you. Until one day I stopped hating when I realized something. You know what that was, Chris? In his mind, he was doing it to make me a better person. He was afraid I'd wind up soft and weak and go down the tubes in America. That's what he was afraid of. He was an immigrant. And he used to say it over and over again that I'd wind up ruined, you got no character. What he was doing in his own mind was putting that irritant inside the oyster of his son to create the pearl of my character.
Well, I can agree with that, and I would say that his family gave him everything he wanted, so there wasn't a struggle. Everything came too easy. He didn't appreciate what he had received.
Well, wait a minute. Well, why would that make someone a junkie? I can't understand the connection.
Life was too difficult to face. As soon as he graduated from the university, he had to face the fact of getting a job, and it was no longer, living on the dole while going to school. It was now suddenly the
wait a minute. Couldn't he go back? Couldn't he go back to the family manse and just hang out and pretend he was working for the family corporation or something? Why did he have to get a job?
Well, it was the father wanted to see, as you mentioned earlier, there's another family that one was successful, the other wasn't. In his family, there were the other siblings. There, it was almost like there were four siblings, and two were successful, and two weren't. And the two that weren't went down exactly the same road of self-abuse and destruction. And I tried my best to get him to see the value in life without...
Right, but wait, the question, though, missing the question, why do you think the sons of so many rich are failures? Give me in one sentence or less your opinion on your friend.
Because they're not prepared for the realities that they have to face on their own. When they leave home, they're it's like the bird is pushed out of the nest, but it wasn't given the abilities or the skills necessary.
Interesting. Well, great. Grounded analogy, Chris. Thanks for that call, and don't take it as a personal failure of your own. I hear a lot of pain in your voice. I don't want to start sounding like Dr. Laura, but this fellow who just called from Honolulu is full of pain over his friend's death. And that's certainly understandable, but don't blame yourself. You couldn't stop the decline. But I heard those very words from my father. And he used to tell me, you're going to have to leave the nest one day and you got to learn how to fly. You got to toughen up. You got to toughen up. You got to toughen up. I got to make you tougher. I got to make you tougher. I got to make you tougher. You got to have character. You got to be strong. You got to have willpower. Over. I mean, it was drilled into me from the time I was, couldn't even think. And he didn't want me to be pushed around. The worst thing to him that could happen to a son was to be a kind of guy who was pushed around by other people. The absolute worst thing that my father thought could happen to his son was not to be a financial, let's say, mediocrity. That didn't matter to him. That was not, in the way I was raised, that wasn't the goal. He wasn't to be the richest guy in town. It was to have, I guess, honor, you would call it. You see, these were old world kind of values. And in other words, you had to maintain your honor at all costs. You didn't let anyone dump on you. You didn't let anyone put you down. You didn't let anyone push you around. There are words for it that I don't have to repeat. And to this day, I am formed by that. I don't like people getting over on me. I don't care who it is. I have a very hot temper, and I take offense very easily, and I frankly have to fight with this every day in myself. I have to conquer this in myself. I want you to understand what I'm saying. To this day, it's a challenge for me to ignore the slings and arrows of absurdity that mean nothing. The slight of a waiter, the insult of a person on a highway, the things that might trigger anger in another person. You might call it anger management, but I've learned to have to manage my own anger. It's not easy for anybody who has been trained not to yield to the next person. But what I learned is you have to save it for what's important. You know, don't let a little thing trigger you. You'll wind up a madman. And there's another way around it, which is never leave the house. That way you don't have to face it. So don't leave the house at all, and nothing will bother you. Then you don't have to waste your time on the little adjustments. But why do the rich produce sons that screw up so often? I have my own theories. Let me give you an example. First of all, I was not rich, so I wouldn't know what went wrong in a rich home. But I do know this. I wasn't poor. I worked. I always made a living. But I instilled in both of my children they had to work from the earliest age, just as I was taught to work. I made them work. I forced them to work. I forced them to learn the value of a dollar. Now, I went back to my childhood, and I thought about something. I grew up in a sort of middle-class, lower-middle-class neighborhood in Queens, New York. That's after we left the tenement of the Bronx, the tenements of the Bronx. We moved to a suburb of Queens. You know, lawns, houses, fences. It was a miracle to me. I had no idea that people lived that way. I thought it was only in a magazine after, you know, coming from an apartment house. Now, naturally amongst our families, some fathers got real rich fast. I mean rich, not like Rockefeller. But compared to the rest of us, they made a lot of money in the post-war years, and they could have moved up yet another rung or two. And out of that, let's say, middling middle-class neighborhood to an upper middle-class or a rich neighborhood. But some of the fathers chose to stay there, even though they were making a fortune in manufacturing or whatever, and they stayed amongst our type, and it was for their sons and their daughters so that the kids would learn to respect work and respect the value of money by being around kids, in other words, who were still being told, don't throw your money away. You know, how much does that cost? What do you want the money for? Did you earn it today? Because the value system, in other words, was intact in the neighborhood. Some of the fathers who made a lot of money didn't leave the neighborhood. They kept their sons and daughters there. And they did that specifically so their kids didn't get ruined. And I thought that was very interesting looking back. At the time, I didn't know what they were doing. Gary says he's a rich kid who blew it all. Gary, you're on the Savage Nation.
That's right. 22 years old, and my father dropped dead in 76 and was smart enough to make us kids wait till we were 35, which was 1989 for me, to get the principal of our trust account. And I promptly blew $250,000 within 2 years on marijuana, cocaine, women, traveling, and not working. And I was down and out. And I decided one day that was it, when I was thinking about killing myself. And I went to a temporary work agency in 1990. And here I am today with a beautiful wife. We've been married 8 years. And I'm making close to $100,000 a year. I went back to school, and I never took a dime of any taxpayers' money in any kind of welfare or food stamps or anything.
Gary, two questions. One, did you enjoy the two years that you spent the $250,000? Was it fun?
Pardon me?
Did you have fun when you blew the $250,000?
It was really something. Very impressive to all my rich friends that I grew up around, and we were just all having fun at my expense. And I
Wait. What do you mean? They were rich, but they were spending your money?
You betcha. I was just buddies with everybody, and I became a pariah in my family, and I am very proud to say that I've gotten back with my family and attended my niece's graduation.
In other words, you were the good time, Charlie. They all slapped you on the back, and you were the one who bought the drinks, in essence.
They knew where to get the drugs, and we traveled, Thailand, the whole works, the whores, you name it. And I was just everybody's buddy. And
so, Gary, you went to Phuket in what, 1983?
89 went to
Phuket. 89. Oh, you went to Phuket before, before it was relatively dangerous.
Yeah, this is when it was just a Navy town. That's correct, Michael.
Gary, I can't help it. You know, my mind goes all over the map. You know, I'm thinking about having all that money and having so much fun, but you blew it all, huh? And now you brought yourself back on your own.
I blew every dime of it, mostly on cocaine, and never thought I'd have to work another day. And even when it was running out, I said, to heck with it. And then I just was down and out, and was lucky to have a couple of friends left that I cared to be around. And here I am.
Gary, thanks for calling. See, this is the interesting thing about talk radio that people not in the business will never understand. It is still the most powerful medium for suggestive input into people's minds. They really do. Who would listen to talk radio but people who have a brain that operates? I want you to think about what I just said. This is not a passive medium. Talk radio is an active medium. You have to turn your mind on. You have to listen. You have to use your own mind to evaluate what the talker is saying. You have to quickly decide, does he know what he's talking about? Okay, he does. Do I agree with him or I don't? Why? You have to think. You don't have to do that with a medium like television or the movies. They're made for something else.
Savage.
Oh, life could be a dream if I could take you up in paradise up above. If you would tell me I'm the only one that you love. Life could be a dream, sweetheart. Hello, hello again. Shaboom, and hoping we'll meet again. Oh, life could be a dream if only all my precious plans would come true.
All right, so tonight there's going to be another debate that nobody will watch except the people in the media. The Democrats will tell you what an evil conservative Bush is, how we have to provide health care for the children. It almost doesn't matter whether it's a Democrat debate or a Republican debate. They get up there, about 10 of them, all at the same time, empty suits, empty skirts. A bunch of liberals in the media stand up and ask them the same set questions that nobody listens to. No real questions about the cost of illegal immigration. No real questions about how the Muslim countries are buying up America one nation, how they're buying up America one piece at a time. No questions about why the Hitler of Iran is not arrested when he comes to the United States. It's total and absolute insanity. I'd rather go back to a time when there were two candidates instead of 20, when they were asked what they were going to do to protect the United States from its enemies, when real men were not afraid to stand up and shout against evil. Play some music.
My real name is Mister.
It is. Speedo Savage here. Speedo Savage. Go ahead, play it again, Sam. Raise the volume. All populi. Time. God, did I love this song as a boy. God, did I love it. I had a flat top haircut. I had peg pants. I was full of life. Look what happened to me now, stuck behind a microphone. You ever think you'd wind up like you are? Did you ever think you'd wind up like you are when you were a kid? Never. In some ways it's better, in some ways it's worse. But you look back when you were 11, 12, 13. Did you ever think you'd be who you are today? Oh, what a... God, who can play the saxophone like this? Nobody. The drugs did it. Ruined everybody. Ruined everything. They don't have the volume in their lungs. The marijuana killed the lung power. Do you remember music? Like, does anyone remember this? I mean, does it make me old? Does it date me? Is this popular anymore? Does anyone like it? Oh, my God. When they went into that bass part of the sax, it was unbelievable what it did. Not anymore. Today it's nipple rings, it's tattoos, HIV, LSMFT, lip rings, eye rings, nose rings. When I was a kid, the only thing that rang was the Good Humor Man. It was enough for me. An ice cream man came down the street and he rang it. I didn't think he was a pervert with it in the back of a truck with a video camera. He sold me a creamsicle. Today, you can't even let your kid out to see a popsicle, an ice cream truck. The guy could be a pervert with a camera and a gun in the back. What a world we're in today.
Why must I be a teenager in love? I cried a tear for nobody but you. Make me cry, that won't be so hard to do. And if you should say goodbye, I'll still go on loving you. Each night I ask the stars up above, why must I be a
savage?
I need to cook a piece of fish tonight or tomorrow night, and I haven't been able to do it properly. So I've asked for a professional chef to call the show. We have someone in Portland, Tammy, on KXL. Go ahead, please. How do I pan fry fish?
You want to pan fry it. So what you want to do is marinate it just a little bit with your olive oil, and then when you go to put it in the pan after it's marinated, you want to put just a sprinkling of your favorite seasoning salt and about 2 tablespoons of your favorite olive oil in the pan, about medium-high heat. And I like my fish done.
Absolutely. I won't accept pink fish anywhere. I don't know where this trend came from, this stupidity, this sushi-grade fish that you get pink. People are getting parasites from it. I'm a trained epidemiologist. You don't eat raw fish. This is total insanity.
Just wrong.
You know, this all started with the chefs, with the pink fish. I send it back over and over again. No pink, and they send it to me pink in the middle. I like my fish cooked. Thank you for the help. See, you can't ask anybody anything. I wish my mother were alive. I'd call the nursing home. I'd say, Ma, how do you cook fish? She'd give me an answer. She wouldn't tell me how to. She wouldn't give me the rigmarole. No long story. She said, you put oil in a pan, get it hot, and throw the fish in. And before it burns, turn it over and cook it. That would be the answer. My mother would have made a great talk show host. Down to earth right then and there. Here we go. I'm going to get fish callers now, fishy callers. Indianapolis, Indiana. Steve, you're on the Savage Nation.
Yeah, hey, Mike. It's the temperature of the oil.
I knew it. So how hot do I make the oil before I put the fish in?
350 degrees.
I put oil in a pan, I turn the flame on. How do I know when it's 350 degrees?
You get a little thermometer that hooks on the side of the pan and goes in the oil.
Wow, a new device to buy at the gourmet shop tonight.
Yeah.
I didn't even know they made such a thing. But wait a minute, how is it not going to pick up the temperature outside the pan?
Well, because it kind of holds it away from the side of the pan a little bit.
Oh, I love that. That's so scientific. So 350 is the place, and you slip it into 350?
You don't want it to touch the bottom of the pan either.
Really? How do you keep the fish from hitting the bottom if it's a nice piece of fish?
Well, you got to kind of, when you first drop it in, kind of stir it around a little bit.
Yeah, that's exactly the point where I've always had trouble, where it sticks. The minute it goes in, it sticks.
Yeah, you got to kind of shake the pan a little bit, you know, and then...
Now we're getting the chef's calling.
Yeah.
And a little body English on that on the forearm.
Yeah, well, we had fish on Friday a lot.
No, I'm serious. Not easy to cook a piece of fish right. Anybody could eat food, but it's very hard to know how to cook it.
Yeah, if you're frying it, especially.
Frying is very difficult. It really is.
Yeah, the trick.
Well, thank you, Steve. I don't want to blow out most of my audience here, and I can't do this. They'd rather hear about Republican, Democrat, Democrat, Republican. Bush is a genius. Bush is a donkey. Hillary's the devil. Hillary's a genius. That's what they want to hear. They don't want to hear that. 1-800-4. Oh, I got to take this call. Ian in Tampa, Florida. Welcome to the Savage Nation. Yes.
First of all, the woman that called, she was pretty close. The gentleman that just called you, he was wrong because the thermometer on the outside is measuring inches of oil in a pan. And if you're cooking sole, which I understand you are, the thermometer is not going to measure 2 tablespoons of olive oil.
Well, give it to me the way my mama would have done it. She would have taken a thermometer and put it up you-know-what. If someone thought of a thermometer in a pan, she would have said that thermometer is for when you have a cold, not for measuring oil in a pan. What are you, nuts? She would have said, can't we just do this on an intuitive level? How do you cook fish in a pan? See how complicated this is? How do you do it?
If you want to cook it in a non-stick skillet.
Yes.
Spoons of vegetable oil, not olive oil. It's got a high smoking point.
Right, right. Like I use soybean oil on the turkey breast because it didn't burn. I hear you. So you put in a nice fresh soybean oil, two tablespoons. Did you say teaspoon or table?
2 tablespoons in a nonstick skillet. If you're cooking sole, it's an extremely thin fish. Sea salt, fresh cracked pepper.
All right, but now here comes the good part. How hot do I get the oil before I put the fish in the pan? This is becoming a great question now.
Well, the problem is that with a nonstick skillet, with a Teflon skillet, which I would recommend cooking sole in, it's not really going to smoke. You don't need to smoke it. It's going to cook very gently. It's a very, very gentle fish. You're going to cook it very slow for just a minute maybe on each side.
So it's like a liberal fish. It's going to actually enjoy being cooked. It's going to say thank you for cooking me before it disappears into the oil.
Michael, take it out of the pan, put it on a plate, deglaze with a little bit of white wine, a little bit of chicken stock, a fresh piece of lemon, a little bit of garlic, a little bit of tiny butter, and then pour that over once it reduces onto your fish, and you will have the...
Wait, hold it. Is this after I've already cooked it?
Yes, the fish, you want to cook it 3/4 of the way. Remember something, the heat from the pan will continue to cook the fish. Take it out, put it on the plate you're going to eat from, a little bit of chicken stock, a little bit
of... Oh, I like the white wine part, the chicken stock. Okay, then I put that all over the fish, then put it back in the pan?
No, put those things in the pan with a tiny little bit of butter, swirl it around, let it reduce down, and then take that out of the pan and put it on the fish. Remember, the fish is going to continue to cook, even though it's not in the pan.
Sure, the molecules are moving out of the pan. I understand that. After the heat gets started, you're moving molecules. So the molecules will keep moving within the fish, even though it's outside the pan. That I get. So it's continuing to cook. And then pour that broth, in essence, that reduction broth, over the fish?
A little bit of chicken stock, white wine, fresh garlic, and a little bit of fresh lemon squeezed in there, and a tiny bit of butter at end to reduce the sauce until you like it, whether it be thin or whether it be a little thicker. Pour it over the sauce and whatever accompaniment, whatever starch or vegetable you have with it, it's done.
Ian, are you a cook in a restaurant?
I graduated from Peter Combs in Manhattan, yes, sir.
Isn't that something? You see, you gave me a straight-up answer. Are you a chef today?
I have since retired, but cooking is my passion, and I am dying for you to release the meatball recipe that I've been listening to you for 5 years.
You know, this is a funny story. I received the meatball recipe by mail when I first started in radio on a local station here in San Francisco 10 years ago or more, and I actually published it in the Savage Nation. Have you seen that recipe in that book, Ian?
No, sir, I have not.
Oh, my God, it's unbelievable to me. It's in there. It was sent to me by an Italian listener in San Francisco. I think it was incorporated in a story on not only how to make a meatball, but how to eat a meatball hero, because it required the right bread. He described the bread had to be crunchy. And not to ruin it with the wrong sauce, because, you know, the whole thing here with the king, he said, was the meatball, not the sauce. This guy knew what he was talking about.
Right.
So you cook every night for yourself?
Well, I do. I don't have...
Have you given up on restaurants because of the poor food and the poor service?
No, it took its toll on me over many years. I enjoy being outside now more.
Yeah. Well, I like going out. The problem is the price you pay is awesome for a plate of food. Thanks for the call. Look how much time I burned up talking about a fish. But I want you to notice something from this. I'll draw a parallel from this. Did you see how many different opinions we had on how to simply cook a piece of fish in a frying pan? And did you see that the last caller actually was the best in the sense that he probably knew more about cooking than anyone that I've had? And he told us how to do it. But even he, you had to listen to very carefully to get cooking a simple piece of fish right. Now I ask you a question. Now try to figure out how to run the war in Iraq, how to run an economy, what to do with taxes, what to do with illegal immigrants. Now try to figure out how to run a radio show. I'll be right back. Savage. Dates bowhead whale to 1800s. Some son of a rat bum Inuit, an Eskimo, kills a 150-year-old whale, and they find the weapon fragment in the old whale in its neck that showed it survived a similar hunt over 100 years ago. The tip of the bomb lance fragment, patented in 1879, that was removed from the neck of a bowhead whale, killed off the Alaskan coast in May, rather, right? So now you read the whole story. Embedded under its blubber was a 3.5-inch arrow-shaped projectile that tells us the whale is between 150 and 130 years old. So now you read it, you read it, you read it. You say, wait a minute, who is permitted to kill a whale this old? So you read on to the whole story, and you realize it was the Eskimos, the Inuits. Now, they're sacred cows, as you well know. They're like one of the sacred minority groups in the world. So they have a hunting quota for the Alaskan whale, and they're allowed to kill 255 whales by 10 villages over 5 years. Why would they be allowed to kill a 130-year-old whale? To me, this guy committed a crime. I'd like to hunt down the Inuit who did this, and I think he should be tried for animal cruelty. How do you like that? I don't like killing an old whale. I don't like the idea of an old whale being killed. An animal that is so smart, that has survived so long. All the perils of the sea. All the perils of mankind. All the perils of the predators and of disease gets hunted by some toothless hack up there who is allowed to hunt them with some modern weapon. That Inuit should go to jail for animal cruelty, in my opinion. So I know what many of you, where are you going, Mike? Today you're an animal rights activist. Yesterday you attacked big oil. Monday you told us about Unitarianism. Yeah, well, I'm an independent. Okay? I'm an independent guy, and I think through things. This is how I see the world. So make of it what you will. Don't confuse me with a Bushbot or a Republican. Please, whatever you do, don't insult me. What are you going to say about it? That he shouldn't? That it's his right? It's his tribal right to kill whales? Well, what other tribal rights are there? That the Native American could kill buffalo? They're not killing buffalo anymore, are they? Only Ted Turner gets to kill buffalo and sell them in delicatessens in San Francisco. Ted Turner, environmentalist, kills buffalo or has buffalo killed for him. In the slaughterhouses down there, low cholesterol meat, buffalo meat. I ate it once. It's like bad beef stew. I wouldn't eat buffalo. There's certain animals I don't want to eat. I don't want to eat whale meat. Why do they need to eat whale meat, those guys up there? They have everything from us now down here. They got welfare galore. They don't live in the ice hut anymore. They live in a nice house we gave them. Welfare house, color TV, car, 4x4, a gas-powered sled. What was the crap? They got to hunt a whale. They got everything they want. I mean, it's flown in. Safeway brings it up to them. There's no need for those bums to shoot whales anymore, particularly a 130-year-old whale. Yeah, don't call me on this. It's just heartbreaking, the vicious Inuit. So you're like, oh, man, an Inuit, savage. So he called an Eskimo, an Inuit, a native Alaskan, vicious. What, they're not allowed to be vicious? They're all good? They're all Nanook of the North sitting up there what are you people crazy? Haven't you learned yet? You haven't learned yet. You haven't learned nothing yet. There's vicious vermin in every race, and there's saints in every race. This guy should be hunted down and arrested for animal cruelty, for killing a 130-year-old whale. That's my opinion. It's a desecration. Patrick, WOR, you're on the Savage Nation.
Hello, hello, Dr. Savage. I happen to agree with you. I'm an independent with conservative leanings, but I also believe in wildlife conservation. Is it
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for being a rationalist.
Here's a quote by Gandhi. He says that you have a reflection on people on how they treat their animals. So how are these people? What's the reflection on them? I mean,
yeah, tell me about the sacred Inuit up there without teeth, chewing on rawhide and eating sugary foods and watching Oprah Winfrey. Well, why should they kill whales? Who gives them the right to kill a whale? What do you mean it's their heritage? Their heritage went out the window a long time ago. Heritage might be behind. You're telling me gambling is the Native American heritage? They used to have gambling casinos in the old Sioux territory? Is that their heritage?
I guess so. I missed that.
Yeah, the Comanches had bigger casinos than the Sioux. And what happened was they were all conglomerated under the Nevada tribes.
Yeah, that was the Casino Wars of 1876.
Yeah, the Casino Wars. That's right. You missed that in U.S. history. The Casino Wars of 1814. That's when they were all consolidated under the Las Vegas Indians.
Yes, yes. Thank you very much, sir. It's an honor.
All right. What are you going to do? Yes, I believe in conservation of animals. That's correct. That is correct. Eureka, California. Mike, go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation.
Savage, the topic you got made me laugh because I seen these knotheads on a special they had. All of them running around circles, wasn't the old ways, but they was all chasing these whales down in high-powered boats with high-powered rifles, just like their
ancestors. A bunch of fakers, all of them. Old ways by behind. And you've got to put in the new ways. If they're going to live on the new way, then you got to give them the new laws. You're not killing any more whales, idiot. They're an endangered species, particularly a 130-year-old whale. Do you understand the metaphor of killing a 130-year-old whale, how painful that really is when you think about it?
It's a sad state. Hey, thanks for the call.
I don't know. It bothers me. It bothers me for some peculiar reason. And I don't know why. I don't know the whale. You could say, well, the guy didn't know how old the whale was. He probably didn't. That's why they shouldn't hunt any whales at all. The Japanese get to kill whales and put them in a can. The Norwegians get to kill a whale and put them in a can. What's it? Their heritage? Their heritage is having their daughters become Jezebels. That's their heritage. That's the heritage of Scandinavia. They went from being these wild Nordic people into this degenerate race up there. Everybody's a degenerate in that area, with the exception of those who emigrated to New York and then came to California. The whole country's sinking into a mess. No wonder they brought in the immigrants into those areas up there. They had to save them somehow. Any religion's better than what they have. Their religion is drugs, sex, and rock and roll. No wonder. Here we go. Disagrees on whale hunting. Okay, Mark, tell us why you disagree on whale hunting.
Hey, how you doing? I listened to you for quite a while. I enjoy your show. I like your free speech. I disagree from the pure fact. I come from a farming community. We still hunt. We use the meat for ourselves. We hunt deer and whatnot. And
I understand, but I don't think a deer is the same level of a noble creature such as a whale. Moreover, deer are not only in abundance. Here where I live, they've proliferated to the point where they're a pest.
Absolutely, yeah. You're
yeah. So I have no problem in hunting deer. It's a game animal. But a whale? Why, there's sufficient whales in the seas that we could just see them knocked off by these greedy Inuits?
Yeah, I got to forgive my ignorance, but what kind of whale is it?
Okay, I don't know. I don't know different things. This is called a bowhead whale.
I know there's certain whales, you know, that the Eskimos have been hunting for years, and I don't think they're endangered.
Well, this is a 50-ton bowhead whale, so that's 100,000 pounds of blubber, of bone, and of whale meat, of muscle. I can guarantee you that guy's going to sell it off to a cannery. It has nothing to do with his Native American hunting. It has everything to do with greed and the bottom line and the greed for the greenback. He's not using it for himself. He's going to eat 100,000 pounds of whale meat? No way. He's not eating 100,000 pounds of whale meat. They don't want it anyway. They'd rather have, I don't know, Jack in the Box up there or Inuit in it, whatever they eat. I don't know what they eat up there. Codfish. Ricola. That Ricola guy goes up there. No, it's too cold for him. He's got shorts on, Ricola guy. Milton on WOR. You're on the Savage Nation.
Hello?
Yes, Milton. You're on the radio.
Yes, thank you. I don't see the difference between eating a whale or eating shrimp. I mean, you seem to like shrimp, and you like lobster.
Sir, if you put a shrimp and a whale in the same category, there's something wrong with your ability to analyze. You don't understand the nobility. It's like saying killing a mosquito is the same as killing a whale.
Well, I didn't say. You mentioned that what's bothering you is that they may be overfished and the endangered species. The reality is that the Eskimos are protecting the species. They have a maximum of 250 whales over 5 years.
Wait. The Eskimos are protecting the whales by killing them?
No, by having a limit to how much they can kill. And they don't kill it with modern weapons either. I've been up there. They actually use it for food over the winter. So they don't.
They use 100,000 pounds of the bowhead whale that the guy killed that was 130 years old. That doesn't disturb you either, that it was a grandfather whale?
Killed every day. Millions of pounds of beef are killed in the United States throughout the world.
Again, you're comparing a cow to a whale. I guess you don't see the difference. It's like saying an eagle is the same as a cockroach.
The difference is between a cow and a whale.
Oh, so what's the difference between a human being then and a whale and a deer and a rat and a cockroach? Would you agree with me that there's a difference in levels of spirit or not?
I don't think you could compare a human being, because a human being has a God-given soul, which a whale does not have.
All right, so we're going to put aside a human being. Fine, at least I wanted to see where you were coming from. Good. So the human's different than the lower animals. We'll call them lower animals. Now let's look at the lower animals. Are you going to argue that as an organism, a whale is on the same level as a mosquito?
No, it's not the same level as an organism, but as far as a human being using it for his own purposes of eating and keeping sustaining the human species, of course you should be able to eat a whale.
Sustaining? You mean those Inuits who live on welfare couldn't live on foods other than 130-year-old whale, Milton?
Will you give up your shrimp because you could live on McDonald's hamburgers? Would you do that?
I don't eat shrimp. Since I saw that the sewer shrimp coming in from China is contaminated, I haven't had a shrimp. So don't bring me into the issue.